Chapter 3. A Dangerous Threat. Winston had to stand for Parliament again, and this time he lost to the Conservative Party candidate. But 2 weeks later, he stood again for election as the Liberal candidate in Dundee, Scotland, and won an easy victory, which gave him a safe place in Parliament. In 1911, the Liberal Prime Minister, H.H. Asquith, gave Winston a top job as First Lord of the Admiralty. Winston was now in charge of the British Navy and was lent a wonderful house, Admiralty House, in London. On 28th of May 1911, Winston and Clemmie's second child, Randolph, was born there. Winston's new job was not an easy one. He was also becoming very worried about Germany. For a long time, he had seen that Germany was slowly building up its army and navy, making them larger and stronger. Winston thought this situation was very dangerous because Germany could be planning to attack Britain. So he spent a lot of money on building British warships and making them faster and better. The money spent on the navy was increased from £39 million to £50 million. Most of Winston's colleagues in the cabinet were not as worried as he was about Germany. Also, many British people thought Germany was a peaceful European country and not a possible threat to Britain. However, Winston continued making speeches in Parliament, warning people that Germany was becoming dangerous. When the First World War started in 1914, Winston was ready. But in the first few months of the war, over 5,500 men in the Navy died. Many of his colleagues did not think that Winston was doing a good job as top man in the Navy, and the newspapers attacked his policies. Then Winston travelled to the city of Antwerp in Belgium. The British Army was in a very difficult situation because Antwerp was surrounded by German troops. So when Winston arrived, he immediately wanted to help the army. He decided the best way of doing this would be to lead the British troops himself. So he sent a message to Prime Minister Asquith, saying that he wanted to resign from his job as First Lord of the Admiralty. But Asquith refused and told Winston to come back to London at once. However, Winston stayed in Belgium for 3 more days, finally arriving back in England on 7th of October, the same day as his third child, his daughter Sarah, was born. Then a terrible disaster happened for Winston, possibly the worst of his political career. Britain and Russia were allies, so they were fighting on the same side in the war. But the Ottoman Empire, Turkey, was an ally of Germany and an enemy of Britain and Russia. The government of Britain had made an ambitious plan for British warships to take British troops to Gallipoli in Turkey. The British government was sure that if Britain invaded Turkey, Turkey would quickly decide to leave the war and make a peace agreement with Britain and its ally Russia. Then Britain would be able to sail its warships past Istanbul and up through the Black Sea to Russia. However, the British plan was very badly organised. This was because there was not just one plan, but 3 plans, each with a different person in charge. Winston, one of Winston's colleagues in the Admiralty, and Lord Kitchener. Each man had different ideas about how the plan should work. Winston was sure that his ideas were the best, and he did not want to follow the other plans. His plan was to use only warships without the help of the army. This was accepted, But after three British warships were destroyed by the Turkish army, the British government decided Winston's plan was no good. So in April 1915, troops arrived at Gallipoli, but the British had not expected that the Turkish army would fight back. Over the next 8 months, about 400,000 men lost their lives. 73,000 British and Irish, 36,000 Australian and New Zealand, 27,000 French, 4,800 Indian, and 251,000 Turkish. Finally, in January 1916, the British government decided to evacuate the troops from Gallipoli. The disaster at Gallipoli was not Winston's mistake alone, but many people still felt he was responsible for what had happened. He had pushed his plan forward and had not listened to his colleagues' ideas. After what happened at Gallipoli, many people in Britain were not happy with the Liberal government, so Prime Minister Asquith invited some Conservative MPs to join the government too. However, the Conservative MPs refused to work with Winston, so he had to go. Winston was very sad and angry.
"I am finished," he said.
Winston was no longer First Lord of the Admiralty, so he, Clemmy and their children had to move out of Admiralty House, where they had been very happy. Later, Clemmy said this had been one of the saddest times in Winston's life. He still wanted to help Britain, so he decided to join the British Army, which was fighting the Germans in France. At the end of January 1917, his regiment travelled to Belgium, where he fought with the troops in the front line of battle. On 7th of May 1917, Winston returned to London and his political career, but it would be almost 3 years before he became a cabinet minister again. On 11th of November 1918, Britain and its allies made peace with Germany, and 4 days later, Winston and Clemmy's fourth child, a daughter, was born. They called her Marigold. Winston's old friend and ally, David Lloyd George, had become Prime Minister, and he appointed Winston as Minister for War. Winston was very happy about this, but in 1921 he made some bad decisions about the war in Russia, so he was moved to a different job, Minister for the Colonies. The year 1921 was terrible for Winston and Clemmy. First, Clemmy's brother Bill killed himself in a hotel room in Paris, and then a few months later, Winston's mother died. Then another very sad thing happened. Their little daughter, Marigold, became very ill, and Winston and Clemmy hurried to be with her. On the evening of 22nd of August, Marigold asked Clemmy to sing her favourite song. But as Clemmy was singing, Marigold put her hand on her mother's arm and said,
"Not tonight. Finish it tomorrow."
However, the next morning, the little girl died. All their lives, Winston and Clemmy felt terrible pain about the death of Marigold. They went on holiday to France, and just over a year later, their fifth and last child, Mary, was born. The same year, they bought a house in the country, 35 miles south of London in Kent. They called the house Chartwell. Clemmy did not really like Chartwell, but she knew it was important for Winston to have a quiet place of his own where he could relax, write and paint. In 1924, Winston changed political parties again and went back to the Conservative Party. Soon afterwards, the new Prime Minister, Stanley Baldwin, appointed him Chancellor of the Exchequer. So Winston and his family moved into the Chancellor's house in London at 11 Downing Street, next door to the Prime Minister. Over the next few years, there were many problems in both Britain and other countries for Winston and the British government. One difficult problem was India. India was a British colony, but now it wanted independence from Britain and its own government. Winston was very much against this idea because India was the most important country in the British Empire. He thought that if India left the British Empire, the empire would be destroyed. But many people did not agree with Winston, and they thought he did not understand India very well. One of these people was Lord Halifax, who was responsible for India then. Another big problem was Germany. For a long time, Winston had strongly believed that there was a serious threat to Britain from Hitler and the National Socialist German Workers' Party, the Nazi Party. The party had started in 1920, 2 years after the end of the First World War. It had grown larger over the years and was now very strong. Winston had travelled a lot through Germany and had been worried about the large groups of young men he had seen marching through the cities. They wanted to fight for their country and make Germany great again after it was defeated in the First World War. In April 1933, Winston made a long speech in Parliament about a possible threat from Germany. He said that Hitler was a dangerous dictator and that he was probably planning to attack Britain. Over the next few years, Winston continued to make speeches warning people about Hitler and the Nazi Party. He wrote letters to newspapers and also to his colleagues. But many people in Britain did not believe that Hitler was dangerous, and they were more worried about a possible threat from Russia. Winston warned people that Germany was building up its army and navy, and he advised that Britain should build up its army too. He was sure that Hitler was planning to attack Austria, Poland, Czechoslovakia, and Romania. Some of Winston's colleagues were starting to listen to him, but others said he was a warmonger, someone who wants war with other countries. In May 1937, Neville Chamberlain became Prime Minister. His Foreign Secretary was Anthony Eden, who shared the same opinion as Winston about Hitler. Eden thought that Chamberlain was making a big mistake about Hitler, and that he was too soft and friendly towards both Hitler and the Italian dictator Benito Mussolini. In November 1937, Lord Halifax, now back in Britain from India, went on holiday to Germany, and Chamberlain encouraged him to visit Hitler while he was there. Eden was not happy about a meeting between Halifax and Hitler, and he warned Halifax to be hard on Hitler. But when Halifax returned, he said that Hitler had been extremely friendly and did not want to start a war in Europe. Eden thought that Hitler was lying, so he resigned from the government in February 1938, and Halifax became Foreign Secretary. Winston was shocked that Eden had resigned and could not sleep all night when he heard the news. He was sure Eden was the only man strong enough to save Britain. In September 1938, Chamberlain travelled to Germany to meet Hitler in Munich. When he came back, he was very happy because he was sure he had saved Britain from war. He told the British people that he had discussed many things with Hitler, and Hitler had said he did not want war and promised not to invade other European countries. But many people in Britain did not believe Hitler. They felt that Chamberlain had been too soft with him and agreed too easily to everything Hitler wanted. At the next meeting in Parliament, Winston made a very strong speech, warning his colleagues again about Hitler. Then on 15th of March 1939, German troops marched into Czechoslovakia. Finally, everyone understood that Winston had been right for many years and that Hitler had lied to Chamberlain in Munich. So when Hitler invaded Poland in September 1939, Britain and France declared war on Germany.